In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 397. I've got my little baby here in the office with me today, so if you happen to hear any baby sounds in the background while I am recording this, you'll know the reason. I've got actually all five of my daughters here, and the others are trying to keep her as quiet as they possibly can, but I'm not sure it can be done. Anyway, today, I hope I'm not Ron Pauling you guys out, but today I was basically gone all day, and so for the episode for today, I am reproducing something that's older, but that I think you guys will like. Let me pause to point out, by the way, that tomorrow I will be recording my final videos for the work I'm doing for the Ron Paul Homeschool Program, and that means that I will have more spare time, which means I'll be able to record and prepare these programs in advance, a whole bunch of them in advance, so I won't be sort of racing around in a situation like today where I was very busy and I had appointments all day. And, you know, at the last minute, I have to come up with something, you know, so it'll be a lot easier on me, and I won't keep foisting these things on you guys. But I thought you might get a kick out of this particular episode because it is what I'm reproducing here is pretty much the most glorious moment of my public life, as it were, in that it is the talk I gave in 2008 at Ron Paul's Rally for the Republic. And some of you listeners are young enough that you don't even know this event. This was legendary, at least at that time, because this was the event Ron held at the same time, the very week that over in St. Paul, they were nominating John McCain. Over in Minneapolis, Ron Paul was having his own, he didn't call it a counter convention, but that's obviously what it was. It was his Rally for the Republic, and it was just extraordinary, and C-SPAN covered it. Ron came out and gave a rip-roaring speech at the end of the day. It was held at the Target Center. You had to get tickets. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. It was an absolute thrill to be part of that. And Ron specifically said he wanted me to speak about the connection between the Fed and foreign policy. So anyway, as I say, it was extraordinary. I think it was a real turning point for me personally, because it was only after this event that I would go to public speaking events and people are demanding autographs and pictures with me and so on and on. This was not happening to me in 2008, 2007, but by early 2009, it was my life just had changed, and I think this was a key moment in this tremendous change that took place in my own life. So I hope you enjoy it. The show notes page for today will be tomwoods.com/397. I actually turned this into a little article. I took the transcript of this speech and made it into a chapter of my new book, Real Dissent, subtitle, A Libertarian Sets Fire to the Index Card of Allowable Opinion. The title of this speech is The Lifeblood of the Empire. And anyway, so if you like it, you might like Real Dissent. So check that out, please, at realdissent.com, my new book. And of course, you can get that book with me reading it as the narrator. And you can get that for free via the offer that you can get through tomwoodsaudio.com. And now, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Woods.
Gentlemen, how much more fun are we going to have than those poor souls stuck at that snore fest down the street? Now, we can't promise you the deep thoughts of Joe Lieberman or Rudy Giuliani, But you'll enjoy yourselves all the same, I'm confident. My friends, it's been said that Americans are faced with a choice between the stupid party and the evil party. And that once in a while, the two parties get together and they do something that's both stupid and evil. And this is called bipartisanship. If anything, though, that's too optimistic, because in so many ways that matter, we may as well have a one-party system. Some people on the left are finally discovering, to their chagrin, that the so-called change Barack Obama would make to foreign policy is just cosmetic. And what did they expect? Look at his foreign policy panel. Look who's on it. Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, and liberals and leftists, listen up. This woman, when she was on 60 Minutes, and she was asked, what about the 500,000 children that the sanctions on Iraq have killed? She said, we believe the price has been worth it. So that's the change candidate. Well, how very refreshing. On taxes, the Democrat favors a top income tax rate of 39.5%, and the Republican favors a top rate of 35%. Well, ain't democracy grand? We get to debate a whole 4.5 percentage points. We better spread this system all over the world. Now, forget about spending. The Democrat spends his time thinking about ways to throw away money we don't have. The Republican, who knows how many additional billions his foreign policy bellicosity is going to saddle us with, but he pledges to balance the budget without a tax increase by 2013 while also strengthening the dollar and closing the $70 trillion entitlement shortfall. And we're supposed to believe this. Been there, done that. And by the way, if you'll forgive me for stating the obvious, you are not a fiscal conservative, or any other kind of conservative for that matter, if you think it's A-OK to stay in Iraq for 100 years. Folks, you're gonna like what's coming up here, though. Because today I've been asked to address another issue that finds the two major candidates, we'll call them McBama, in agreement, namely money and the Federal Reserve System. What's the difference, right? None. None. Since the Fed was established in 1913, the dollar has lost 95% of its value. The Federal Reserve System has given us more financial bubbles than we can count. When it inflates the money supply, it lowers the value of the dollars in Americans' pockets and hurts society's most vulnerable. It redistributes wealth from the middle class and the poor to the politically well-connected by means of what economists call distribution or Cantillon effects. F.A. Hayek won the Nobel Prize in Economics for showing how central banks, like the Fed, create the boom-bust cycle in our economy. Because when the central bank manipulates interest rates, it causes massive discoordination. The interest rate is supposed to coordinate production across time, but it can do so only if it reflects an aggregate of voluntary choices, not the whim of the Fed chairman. Entrepreneurs are misled by the Fed into making investments that make no sense in light of current resource availability, and the Fed's intervention creates a boom that leads inevitably to a bust. Well, thankfully, more and more financial analysts are coming to recognize what's called the Austrian theory of the business cycle. Now wait. This is an educated crowd. I say the Austrian theory of the business cycle, you know it. Let's go ask John McCain what he knows about Hayek's theory. We may as well be speaking Chinese. In the 1920s, when so-called mainstream economists were foolishly assuring us that permanent prosperity had arrived, it was the so-called Austrian school of economic thought, of which Ron Paul is a member, that predicted the Great Depression alone. And yet, in spite of all this, we've had no serious discussion of the Federal Reserve System in our political life for nearly 100 years. It has been fantastically successful in depoliticizing itself. No politician ever mentions it. And although he is too genuinely humble to acknowledge it, one man is responsible for finally blasting open this forbidden question, Ron Paul. Look at how members of Congress treat the Fed chairman when he appears before them. He gets asked only the most inane, sycophantic questions. Members of the banking committee, decked out in their I Heart Bernanke t-shirts, are waving incense in front of him. Ron Paul, on the other hand, looks him in the eye and says, "You are stealing from the poor." Now, the economic and historical arguments against sound money, by which I mean money that government can't just print up at will, are surprisingly weak. They're really just a string of fallacies. And there is, or imminently will be, at the Campaign for Liberty website, a whole education page with all the resources you need to defend sound money. But Joseph Schumpeter, one of the great economists of the 20th century, said that even if you accept all the bogus arguments against gold, it still makes perfect sense to favor it. Why? Because it is the only system compatible with freedom. If fiscal responsibility is your issue, you'll never get anywhere as long as the government can create out of thin air all the money it wants. If the federal government is an addict, then the Federal Reserve is the enabler. Or let's suppose you're concerned about war and what Ron Paul calls our bull in a china shop foreign policy. And by the way, that's a concern that's shared by the genuine left, people like Kirkpatrick Sale and Gore Vidal, and the genuine right, people like Russell Kirk, traditional conservatives like Robert Taft as well, not today's neoconservative death cult. But if you're concerned about war, you should care about the Fed. Because the Fed, the central bank, is the lifeblood of the empire. If you want to stop the war machine, you have to go after the money machine. Stands up. Folks, how did Lyndon Johnson get away with his war spending in Vietnam? By a deliberate policy of concealing the cost through inflation, a cost the American people bore only later in the stagflation of the 1970s. Just the cost overruns on two Pentagon projects added up to more than the combined GDPs of North and South Vietnam. By silently looting the American population, the government was able to get away with much more spending than would otherwise have been possible. And then we have this war, disastrous war in Iraq, the propaganda for which was fed to us by America's Pravda, the New York Times. Now, how has that war been funded? By borrowing from foreigners and creating new money out of thin air. Now, as for our current economic mess, McBama agreed with the president, who summed up his own sophisticated business cycle theory in these words, "Wall Street got drunk." Well, what's their solution? For starters, hundreds of billions in bailouts to the alleged drunkards. Bailouts and scapegoating, anything other than pointing the finger where it belongs are all McBama can think to do. To hear them speak, you'd never know the Fed's mad money creation spree and all the economic distortions that result from it had even occurred. And by the way, no, the free market does not cause housing bubbles and mortgage crises. The federal government has been pushing unsound loans on banks for years, either through legislation or through the Federal Reserve's policy of flooding the economy with cheap credit. This new money went overwhelmingly into the housing market, the result being the housing bubble that is now bursting. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are government-supported enterprises that get special tax and regulatory breaks, and that everyone knows will be bailed out if it should come to that. So there's nothing to stop them from buying up risky mortgages from banks, and banks, in turn, are more likely to make risky loans in the first place if they know Fannie and Freddie will be happy to buy them up. Now, that's more truth on this subject than you're going to get from both political conventions put together. Once again, the free market is being blamed for the recklessness and stupidity of the blockheads who rule us. Every 4 years, we are subjected to a pair of empty suits whose only real argument is over exactly how and through what channels they plan to squander Americans' wealth. It's enough to make the non-comatose segment of the population despair. So what can we do? Well, for starters, you can do what Ron Paul does, which is to start your day by reading LouRockwell.com. You can go to mconmag.com and read and subscribe to the American Conservative magazine, where you can read about conservatives who aren't bloodthirsty savages. But above all, today we have a special suggestion. If you're tired of having to choose between two wings of the same bird of prey, then help us change America. Go to campaignforliberty.com and join Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty. H.L. Mencken put it this way. H.L. Mencken said, "The most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself without regard to the prevailing superstitions and taboos. Almost inevitably, he comes to the conclusion that the government he lives under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable. And so if he is romantic, he tries to change it." Isn't that a description of Ron Paul? Yeah! Publishers Weekly says Ron Paul gives new life to old debates. Now, I love any compliment for Ron Paul, but I think that one's not quite right. Without Ron Paul, we wouldn't even be having these debates in the first place. Reminds us that our future is not cast in stone, and that if we as a people so choose, we do not have to live in the kind of America that the two parties have in store for us. Either more domestic spending and bankruptcy, more warfare and bankruptcy, those are our choices. Take your pick. We don't have to choose between these any longer. We can change this country through education. So thanks to all of you, people who came from all over this country, who have made sacrifices at times of great want and difficulty, who made it here and who have made sacrifices this whole year, thanks to you. But above all, thank you, Ron Paul.
All right. right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. Show notes page for today, remember, is tomwoods.com/397. Make sure and subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher, because I am releasing a new episode every single weekday. We are just a few episodes away from number 400, if you can believe that. And every episode is just packed with information to help make you a smarter libertarian. Just give me 20 to 30 minutes a day, and that's what I'll do for you guys. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.